This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
That which is not does not pertain to him is part of the excellence of a person's Islam. And sometimes, you know, when you're flipping the subject and the predicate, it's actually for emphasis. It's for emphasis. You can say, for example, you can say, leaving that which does not pertain to you is part of good character, perfection of character. But when you say part of the perfection of a person's Islam, or of a person's Islam, is leaving that which does not pertain to him, and when you flip something like that, it actually gives it a little more eloquence and more power when it comes to speech and more emphasis. So min husn al Islam al mar, tarquhu min husn al Islam al mar is the actual the khabar, means the information that we, and the leaving of it, that's the subject of it. So this is similar to what? When a part of a person's good character is that he leaves that which does not benefit him. And there's a similar hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, this is Sahih Bukhari and also Sahih Muslim, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُبْ. So whoever believes in Allah in the day of in the last hour, then let him say that which is good, or let him be quiet. And so that means what? That means everything that does not benefit you, you abandon it. And that's part of good character in Islam. Because people who speak too much about things that don't pertain to them, people look down upon that. That's part of bad character. Like, you don't want to hang around with people who are always speaking nonsense or speaking about things that don't benefit. And so when it comes to min husn al-Islam al-mar, tarkuhu ma la ya'ni is more, it's more general than just the hadith. Whoever believes in Allah in the last hour, let him be quiet, or let him say something, let's say that which is good, or let him be quiet. And so that's why this one, this particular hadith, is actually, it encompasses the other hadith. Why? Because when he says, مَا لَا يَعْنِي, that which does not benefit him, that which does not pertain to him, is, it pertains to actions, it pertains to words, and it pertains to every aspect pretty much of your life. And so if you can apply this in your life, first and foremost, you're gonna have a lot more time. Secondly, you have a lot more stress. I mean, you have a lot less stress, because you're, and also you'll make less enemies also. But those who speak a lot, those who always try to dig into people's business, it just makes it worse. And sometimes there are things that, whether you know or not, it doesn't really matter, right? There are so many things. And so that's why, and naturally, people are different. There are some people, when you get a phone call, right, you get a phone call, and somebody says, you know, so-and-so had a baby. For some people, alhamdulillah, what's this baby, boy or girl? Alhamdulillah, it's a boy. Now sometimes, another person might pick it up, and sometimes the husband picks it up, usually doesn't speak too much, most of the time, right? And the wife picks it up, yeah, right away. How was the labor? What color? What was his complexion? Is he dark or dark skinned? Does he look more like the father or the mother? What kind of eyes and nose and what is who? And you just keep on going and going and going, right? And so, when it comes to speech, action, or anything in Islam, if there's no benefit, then it's always praiseworthy to leave it out. And so Islam gives us, teaches us makarim al-akhlaq. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمْ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I have not been sent, the Prophet ﷺ said, except to complete makarim akhlaq, noble character. To complete noble character. What is this noble character? You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan. If you look at this verse, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ in Surah An-Nahl, it is a very, very beautiful and all-encompassing verse. Because العدل والإحسان encompasses all these two words are the foundation of a Muslim's character. You know that these al-adl, what is al-justice? Justice. Ihsan is doing good, excellence, and doing. Ihsan is being. Ihsan is that which is the perfection of your actions towards other people. That's why Allah Subhanahu wa Taala describes Surah Yusuf, He describes Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam over and over again. That he is amongst, إِنَّا لَنَرَاكَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ Surely we see you amongst the muhsineen, those who do ihsan. Why? Because he's always benefiting people. Always benefiting people. So even at home, al-adl wal-ihsan. What is adl? Is being just and putting everything in its rightful place. Al-ihsan is doing good, taking that extra step to be there for the people. And so, mahasin wal akhlaq. And so, that, and how does it, what does it have to do with this hadith? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, min husni islam al mar. Part of the ihsan, husn, the goodness of a person's Islam, part of that good character, part of that foundation of noble character is leaving that which does not benefit you. Anything that doesn't benefit you and you abandon it, that's part of good character. Part of good character. So there are so many things that we do that don't benefit us. There are things that we watch that don't benefit us. There are things that we listen to that don't benefit us. There are places that we go to that don't benefit us. There are words that we say that don't benefit us. There are so many things that we buy that don't benefit us. They don't help us. Like you might say, well, let me see, is this going to benefit me and help me in the hereafter? In fact, there are a lot of times we buy things that are harmful for us. You know, there are some people who buy things that are harmful, that waste more time, waste your money, and not only that, maybe will corrupt your health also. That you buy things like people who buy, for example, cigarettes and things that will, you know, and things that they eat that or that don't benefit them. So that's why when it comes to ihsan, tarkuhu ma la ya'ni means leaving that which does not pertain to him. That means it's not connected to you. You shouldn't worry about it. It doesn't benefit you and it doesn't harm you, whether you know it or not. So some people might say, for example, hey, you know, what do you think? How much do you think he makes? Like, what does that benefit you? If he makes more or less, how does that benefit? How does that pertain to you? It doesn't pertain to you. It doesn't benefit you any. And so, and another thing is some people, of course, there are certain things we're concerned about, but some people over-exaggerate. They sit in their cafes and, you know, and all they speak about is politics. All they speak about politics. Yes, I mean, you, as a Muslim, you should be aware of what's going on, but there are things that you can do something about, and there are things that you can't do anything about. Right? And there are certain things you can't do anything about. And so they don't pertain to you because directly, it's like, especially people are speaking about things that happen in other places, in other countries, overseas, and it doesn't affect them. And the things that affect them more are what's going on around them right now with you, your children, your family, community. That's what affects you right now. And there's some other things. Yes, you're concerned about those things, but when it comes to your actions and that which you prioritize, is that which you, you know, that concerns you. And so there are so many things, you know, when it comes to this particular hadith. One issue also. What if you see somebody doing something bad, meaning doing something haram? Should you, is that part of that which pertains to you? Yes, it is. You should try to prevent. By the time there's disobedience of Allah and you're able to change it with words that you say or actions with your limbs, then you should do so, because the Prophet, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to enjoin that which is good and forbid that which is evil. And that's part of our deen. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Let a group amongst you, let them call to that which is good, enjoin that which is good and forbid that which is evil. And so this is part of our duty. And if it is a part of your duty, then it pertains to you. So there are so many things. What are some of the things that pertain to you? The things that pertain to you are that which is directly related to your family members, right? Like your family, your sons, your daughters. Why? Because you are responsible for them. And if you are responsible for them, then that pertains to you. That pertains to you. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. O ye who believe, save yourselves and your family from the fire, the fuel of which is mankind and stones. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to save our families from the hellfire, that means those are the things that pertain to us. Those are the things that pertain to us, and those are the things that we should be concerned about. And so the scholars of before, when it comes to leaving that which does not benefit, first of all, this particular hadith is one of the major foundation in controlling oneself, right? In controlling oneself, because there's so many other things that are connected with it also. And if you're able to control yourself, then inshallah you'll be able to perfect your character. And you'll be able to, you not only perfect your character, but you'll also be able to protect your reputation. And you'll also stay away from that which does not benefit in terms of actions, and also in terms of words. So this is, in this hadith, you know the word, the in Islam, when you have the word al-wara, anybody know what the word wara is? Wara. Wara. Wara means to be cautious. Wara. And when somebody says, this person is wara, that means this person is pious and righteous. He's always afraid of doing anything that's haram. Like he, even though there's anything on the border, he stays away from it. That's al-wara, right? So that's somebody who is cautious. And this hadith combines all of that, as is mentioned by Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah. Why? Because this hadith states that you abandon that which does not pertain to you. So any words that you speak that doesn't pertain to you, by saying something, if it's not haram, is it permissible for us to say them? Yes, it is permissible for us to say them, right? But there's a different level. There are some people who, okay, this is, it's mubah, it's permissible. No. Those who have a high level of wara, of cautiousness, of piety, they take it to a different, another level. Even the things that are permissible, like mubah, they stay away from that which is mubah. And don't waste their time on that which is mubah. But they are concerned about that which is most important, that pertains to their well-being in this life and the hereafter, and their family members and their deen. And so that which pertains to them in terms of the words that they say, because sometimes you have things that you should be saying that you shouldn't be saying. And so, and there are things that you can say if you want, but you know, there's no benefit in it. Those who are following this hadith, if you want to perfect your character, that which speech which does not benefit you, you should stay away from. That's what the hadith that we mentioned earlier, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyaqul khayran aw liyasmut." Whosoever believes in Allah in the last hour, then let him say that which is good, or let him be quiet. So when it comes to that which your speech, the second is that which you look at, that which you watch. So your eyes, or your tongue, and then your eyes. There are so many things that we watch that don't benefit us. Can anybody tell me something that we watch that doesn't benefit us?
The news.
The news? A lot of the news, you don't benefit, right? If you didn't watch the news for a whole month, most likely, you know, you're not losing much, right? Yeah, you're probably saving more time. So sometimes most of it, you know, is it permissible? Most of it's okay, you know, but to stay away from that and watch other things is more beneficial. And so what else? What else can you watch, what you watch that really doesn't benefit you? Right? But you can't say it's haram if you don't exaggerate in it and you're not neglecting your obligations, then it's not haram. Like, for example, what? There's other things. Is it haram? Like, for example, sports? No. But sometimes a person might need to relax. But to really watch to the point where you are scheduling your day around something like that, then you have your priorities really correct. And to get involved to the point where you become depressed when your team loses, that's another level, right? Sometimes you might see some of the players are sad because they lost. But after they're sad, they lost, they go out of the stadium, they get in their Lamborghini, and they get to drive to their palace and to their mansion. And you, after they lost, you're crying, and you get to go back to your apartment, right? You get to drive, and you get to go back to your apartment. Like, there's a big difference here. And he probably like, you know, hey, I'm enjoying myself right now, right? And some people, so like, did you get anything? Did they give you any money, or did they give you any back? We invest emotionally so much into certain things that don't benefit us, that cause us extra stress when we shouldn't be stressing out over some of these things. And that's not good Muslim character, right? But at the same time also, there's a time for this and there's a time for that. That means there's a time, you know, that you need to relax. You want to go out with your family, on the picnic, and you want, some people like to go camping, doing things that you like, fishing or whatever it is that you like once in a while. That's something that's definitely permissible, and it's also something that's recommended also, because you really can't, you know, you really can't focus completely because everybody's iman is different. Sometimes you need a time for this, like Hudhayfa ibn Yaman. Hudhayfa. He came to the Messenger of Allah, or Hanzala. He came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or he came to Abu Bakr. He saw him, he said, Abu Bakr, that nafiq Hanzala. Like Hanzala has become a munafiq. Somehow I feel like a hypocrite. He says he feels like a hypocrite. Whenever we're with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever we're with him, and he speaks about the hellfire and paradise, it's as if we can see it with our very own eyes. And then we go home and we play with our children, and it's as if we forgot all of that. Like our emotional state changes, as if we forgot everything that was said by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, you know, I feel the same way also. Let's go and ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about this. And so they both went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they told him what he, you know, what they were talking about. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, sa'atan wa sa'a. There's a time for this and there's a time for that. Oh Hanfala, if you were to remain in the same state that you're in when you're with me all the time, like that, the angels of Allah would come down and shake your hands in the streets and in your houses, in your bedrooms. They would come down and shake your hands like, I would shake this man's hand. Like, this is one heck of a man. The angels would come down. Well, I can sigh, I will sigh. But there's a time for this and there's time for that. It's okay to enjoy your, you know, spend time with your family. And if you do so, you know, you're going to forget the same time when you're speaking, hearing about the hellfire, about paradise. You might have, your iman might be very high, but then when you're doing other things, it seems like you almost forget. But that's natural, it's okay. As long as one does not indulge in the mubahat so much that they neglect the mandatory, neglect the obligations. And so, what should you be checking? This is the foundation of piety and righteousness. This hadith. If you can apply this hadith, it's the foundation of piety and righteousness. Why? Because you are always careful of what you say. You're always careful of what you look at. You're always careful of what you listen to. Is it beneficial to me or not? What I am listening to, is it harmful for me? Of course you're going to stay away from. But even that which is not beneficial, and that which is beneficial, and that's what, that which is, I mean, even that which is not haram, but it might be beneficial, a little bit beneficial in this world. You know, like some people, they might, you know, they might be interested in some, in certain things, in politics. Others are interested in, you know, the economy, and there are others who are interested in sports and so forth. And people, we listen, we watch, we talk about some of these things. So there are some people, when you speak about anything like politics or sports or celebrities even, or movies, mashallah, they are very, 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 very into it. Like, they're very, very involved, and they discuss it with a passion. They discuss it with a passion. As soon as you speak about the deen, they stop. Like, why do you have to speak about that? Why? Because they know that this is important, and they just want to follow their desires. Like, let me relax. And they think the deen is very, very hard. No, when you speak about the deen and you learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once you realize how important it is, and once you start to learn, that's the most pleasurable thing that you can have, is to remember Allah. Because in the remembering, learning the deen is reminding you of Allah. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنَّ الْقُلُوبِ. And so those people who are speaking about those things, do you know why they speak about sports? Do you know why? And they watch sometimes politics. Because they want to forget about their problems. They want to forget about their problems. And so that's why when the economy is going bad, right? When the economy is going bad, when there's turmoil in politics, when there's a lot of clashes, some governments will increase entertainment. Right? They might go out and bring players from all the distraction from what? From some from the problems that they have. Because they want to cover up those problems. But you're just covering it up. You're not solving anything. Like, you're not solving anything. You're just distracting people. You're just giving yourself a little bit more time. Eventually, it will end. And when people don't have enough to eat, when people can't pay their bills, they look at the thing, and they will eventually, they'll get to the point where they won't care about sports because they don't have anything to eat. They don't have anything to feed their families. They can't pay the bills. They're being kicked out of their houses. And they're unable to afford some of the, even the basic necessities. And then when that happens, you can't cover it up anymore. You can't cover it up anymore. And that's why sometimes you just, some people are just buying themselves time. And when you realize that these things are not important, then you focus on that, you prioritize things that are more important. And also, you know, even thinking. There are so many things that we think about. We think about the future and we have anxiety. We think about the past and we feel sad. We think about the present and the problems that we have and we feel depressed, right? And so anytime you're put in a situation, your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthens you. Strengthens you because you're thinking about the hereafter. Because any problems that you have in the here in this life, compared to problems that are in the hereafter, that the possible problems that you may have in the hereafter if you're not obedient to Allah, all of these problems are nothing. I'll give you an example. I've given this example many times, but inshallah it helps us to learn how to prioritize things and how some people. You know, it seems like they have a lot of problem, but they're always at peace. You know, a Muslim, being a good Muslim does not guarantee that you won't have any problems. But being a good Muslim and holding on to the Quran and the Sunnah gives you peace and tranquility, even in times of turmoil and hardships and difficulties. It gives you contentment. It gives you faith and strength, even in times of difficulty. Why? Because you're connected to the hereafter. Anytime you're connected to the hereafter, it gives you relief. Anytime you're chasing the dunya, it gives you stress, more stress. The dunya is a place of stress. When you think about the hereafter, it relieves that stress. How? Let me give you an example. If we were to sit in the masjid here right now, and a brother comes in with his children, like maybe his sons are coming with him. And then he goes and he sits in the corner. It sits like, you know, on the back, on the wall. His children are running around, and people are reading Quran, people are praying Sunnah, and the children are just going wild. So you look at these children running around, and then you look at the father, and the father is just sitting like this. He's doing nothing. How do you feel? Some of us are like, brother, take care of your children.
Yeah, it happened to me today. I was in the bus, and these kids, and with the mom, and I'm just sitting, and the kids running on the bus.
Yeah, they don't, now, up and down, they don't care. And you're like, subhanAllah, take care of your children, right? Take care of your children. So imagine you're in that situation right now. You're feeling like irritated. You go to the brother who's sitting in the back of the corner, the back of the masjid. You go to him and you say, brother, can you please take care of your children? Then he looks at you and says, sorry, I really apologize. We just came from the hospital and when their mother just passed away, I'm just not in it today. How do you feel? His wife just died. His children are running still. Did they stop running? Are you mad at him anymore? Are you mad at him?
Can you even be mad at him? If you are still mad at him, there's something wrong with you. Right? There's something wrong. This brother, his wife just passed away. You don't care. Now his children, you feel even sorry for his children. They are so young that they don't even know that they will never see their mother again. Like they don't have a mother and they're still running around. Like, yeah, Allah, like poor, these children poor, so innocent. They don't realize what's happened. And so are you mad at the children? Definitely not. Are you mad at the father? No. Did the children stop running? No. What changed? The thing that changed was those little problems that you saw that irritated you were, it's nothing compared to what he's going through. It's nothing. Why are you worried about, why are you irritated by his children? This brother, his wife just passed away. Death, that's death in this life. When you think about Jannah and you think about Nar, all the problems in this world are nothing. Nothing, they mean nothing. And that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that they will, on the Day of Judgment, Allah will bring forth a man. This man is amongst the people of the hellfire. Right? This man is one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him all the pleasures and all the pleasures of this world. He had everything. People wanted to have what he had, wanted to be him. He had everything. He had everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will just dip him one moment. All the things that he had that other people didn't have, dipped him in one. And he has the most ease. He doesn't have any hardship. Whenever he needs something, people always take care of it from. No financial problems, nothing. He dips him one moment in the hellfire and takes him out. And Allah will ask him, O servant of mine, did you find any goodness in this dunya? Anything at all? He said, no, not at all, not a single moment of goodness. All that happiness, everything that happened after he saw the hellfire, he forgot all of it. It's all gone. It's worthless. All of that. This is the one who has the most of anyone in this dunya. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring forth a man. A man who went through the most, who was tested more than anyone else, went through the most hardships in this dunya. And he of course is amongst the people of Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will dip him one moment. Just one moment in Jannah. And he will come out and Allah will say, when you were in this world, did you find any difficulty whatsoever? So, ya Allah, not a single moment of difficulty in this world. Not a single moment of difficulty at all. Why? He forgot every single hardship, sickness, difficulty in this world for just because of one moment in Jannah. And that's why an example of us in this world, you know how sometimes you've a couple, they may be living together happily for 15-20 years, right? 15-20 years, and then they have a problem, right? They have a problem. And the husband and the wife now are, you know, they are in agreement. And so all the 20 years before that they enjoyed staying together and all the vacations or the happy times that they had, all the times that they enjoyed, at that moment when she has a little bit of a problem, she says to him, says, you know, you never did any good for me. Never. He never did any good for me at all, whatsoever. Never. Like, you were never kind to me. You were never, you didn't do anything. You never help out. Even though there's so many times that you may have helped out, you may did this and that. You struggle to sometimes bring food to put bread on the table, and maybe you went on vacation and you enjoyed the times that you had together, but one moment of anger and she forgot everything. Forgot everything. And sometimes the opposite also. You may go through so many difficulties, hardships, financial hardships, struggles, difficulties. Finally, Allah gives you relief and you get out of it. And alhamdulillah, you had it. You have what you have now. And so now you're happy. You know, you have what you were looking for, and now you're financially stable, and you just bought this and bought that. And you're like, alhamdulillah, right? And it's like, yeah, we did go through a lot of difficulties, but was it worth it? So she said, yeah, it was worth it. Look what we have right now. And all those difficulties on those days in which you were going through difficulty, yeah, you said, oh, I can't handle this, right? But then when you came out of it, when Allah gave you relief, you say, alhamdulillah, that wasn't too bad. Right? Was it worth it? Now you're able to come together, or you'll be together. Maybe before you weren't able to. Sometimes, you know, maybe she's in a different country, you're in a different country, and like, oh man, so many difficulties with parents and in-laws and outlaws and all kinds of things were happening. And now, alhamdulillah, you're together and you're like, you know, you're quote unquote, inshallah, successful in this life. You look back and say, alhamdulillah. Would you want it anyway? Anything different? Would you have done? Nah, man, that's good. It just no problem. You know, I wouldn't want to change a thing, because you saw the end. Man, it ended up good. Look, we made it. Look what happened. Look what we made it. Just like during the time, the story of Prophet Yusuf, alayhi salam. Story of Prophet Yusuf. How many struggles, how many difficulties did Prophet Yusuf have to go through with his brothers? Right? And then he invites his brothers to Egypt, and he's on the top. He's like next to the king of Egypt, and all of the money, the storehouses of Egypt were under his control. Allah raised his status to the point where he's on the throne of Egypt now. He's respected, he's beloved. And all of Egypt is under his hand, under his control, authority. He calls his brothers over, right? Even though they went through all of those difficulties, he forgave them. Why? Because, you know, we made it. Right? Look what Allah gave me. قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرُ. Indeed. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And indeed, whoever has taqwa and is patient, like in the end, Allah will give you. Allah will give, even after all those struggles. They tried to kill him and they made him a slave. He was sold as a slave in Egypt. And then he was tested with all the women also, and he was imprisoned. After going out of prison, after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after many decades, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised his status. Was it all worth it? It says, yes. If you're patient, you have taqwa and you have patience, Allah will take care of you. Allah will give you in this life and hereafter. And so, everything that you're looking at, even your thinking, don't be concerned about things that don't matter, that don't benefit. That's part of being pious and righteous. Min husnil Islam al-mar. That's part of the ihsan of a person, part of the noble character of a person, even in his thinking. He doesn't think about things, about past and future things that will distract him. So this is, if you can control this, then this is one of the most this is one of the great, one of the greatest blessings that you can have in terms of your deen. This is the embodiment of al-wara, of piety and righteousness and noble character. And that's why some of the people before, they used to say, you know, when in the sometimes they would visit some of the companions or some of the people who were sick, and some people who were, you know, before, they were you know, people well known for their deen, and some of the companions, even when they're sick, you can see their faces that they're still remembering Allah, making dhikr. And why? When they saw them in that state, they said, you know, how is this the case? And they said, he said, ما من عمل أوثق عندي من خصلتين. There are two things that I took care of. I tried very hard. And two things that I tried very, very hard. And that's what's giving me, you know, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving me strength in this moment in which he's happy, he's making dhikr, even though he's sick and he's on his deathbed. He said, there's nothing that I have done in terms of my character, what I have taken care of, except for two things that I really, really took care of. كُنْتُ لَا أَتَكَلَمْ فِي مَا لَا يَعْنِينِ. One thing is, I used to never speak about that which did not concern me. If it doesn't concern me, I used to never speak about it. وَكَانَ قَلْبِي سَلِيمٍ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. Said, my heart was always pure towards other Muslims. I was never jealous of them. I did not have envy of them. You know, because there are some Muslims always concerned about others. Not only do you speak about others, you're concerned about others. Like some people, they, mashallah, they buy a new house, they have a new car, or they have a new job, or they got this and they got that. They got, you know, they a raise in this job and that job. And there are some people who are jealous of it. Like, why are you jealous of it? Why? And sometimes they speak badly about that person because they're envious of it. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that person. And who knows what he did to deserve that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to him. And so be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be content with what you have. Because when you start looking at other people and what they have, then that affects you also. You know, so be thankful for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to you. And don't speak about that which doesn't benefit you. Don't speak about other Muslims, that which does not benefit you. And keep your heart clean and pure from all the envy and jealousy and so forth. And so Al-Muwarriq Al-Ijli, one of the Salaf people before, pious predecessors, he said, أَمْرٌ أَنَا فِي طَالَبِهِ مُنْذُ كَذَا وَكَذَا مُنْذُ كَذَا وَكَذَا سَنَا. Like there's one thing I've been searching for many years, for such and such, so such and such years. لَمْ أَقْدِرْ عَلَيْهِ وَلَسْتُ بِتَارِكٍ طَلَبَهُ أَبَدًا. So that one, I'm searching for it right now, and I will not leave it. I will continue to search for it. And so they said, what is it? He said, الْكَفُّ عَمَّا لَا يَعْنِينِ. He said, to stay away from that which doesn't concern me. Right? To not speak about that which does not concern me. To not think about that for that which doesn't benefit me and doesn't concern me. And so, Al-Hasan, Al-Imam Al-Hasan Al-Basri, rahimahullah, he said, Alamatu i'radi Allah ta'ala 'anil 'abd an yaj'ala shughalahu fima la ya'ni. Listen to this. Al-Imam Al-Hasan Al-Basri, rahimahullah, he said, Alamatu i'radi Allah ta'ala 'anil 'abd. One of the signs that Allah has turned away from his servant. This is one of the signs that Allah has turned away from his servant.
أَيَّجْعَلَ شُغَلَهُ فِي مَا لَا يَعْنِي. That he makes him concerned about things that don't concern him. That if Allah made you concerned about things that don't concern you, that have nothing to do with you, this is a sign that Allah is turning away from you. That Allah is turning away. And then what should you do? Turn away from that which doesn't concern you. And go back, return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshaAllah, will strengthen you and guide you and give you faith. Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, he said, ثَلَاثَةٌ تَزِيدُ فِي الْعَقْلِ. Three things that will increase a person's aql, intelligence. Al-aql is not only intelligence, right? كَذَّكَاء is intelligence, right? Al-aql is intelligence. It's not just intelligence, but it's also like smarts and emotional intelligence also, right? And wisdom also. That's al-aql, because al-aql means you, iqal means to hold back and to stop. That's what it means. So that's why when a person doesn't have, you know, mafqood al-aql, somebody who's, you know, majnoon, somebody who's crazy, he doesn't have al-aql, he can't control his actions, right? So al-aql is one who controls his actions. And so he says, ثَلَاثَةٌ تَزِيدُ فِي الْعَقْلِ. There are three things that will increase your aql, your intelligence and your wisdom, and your determination, right? Your determination, your self-determination, and the strength emotionally and so forth. Number one, mujalisatul ulama, spending time with scholars increases your aql. Wa mujalisatul salihin, and being in the company of the pious people, being in the company of scholars. وَتَرْكُ الْكَلَامِ فِي مَا لَا يَعْنِي. And وَتَرْكُ الْكَلَامِ, leaving the speech that does not pertain to you. The speech that doesn't pertain to you. And it was said that مَنْ سَأَلَ عَمَّا لَا يَعْنِيهِ سَمِعَ مَا لَا يُرْضِيهِ. سَأَلَ عَمَّا لَا يَعْنِي. Anyone who asks about that which doesn't pertain to him will hear that which will not please him. If you always ask about things that don't pertain to you, then you will hear about things that won't please you. So don't ask about things that don't pertain to you. Like if it doesn't matter, like who, for example, people are like, oh, you know, how much does that brother make? Like, what is it to you? Like, whatever he makes, alhamdulillah. Like, why are you so concerned about it? Why are you worried about it? Right? And how did this person do this and that? What is what? Yeah. So you're speaking about this person and that person, them doing this and them doing that, them having this and them having that. It's a waste. It's wasting your time, and it's harmful for you. It's harmful. Harmful for you. And that's why. من حسن الإسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعني. Leaving that which does not pertain to him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also was asked. He said, he was asked, Ya Rasulullah, ayyul Islam afdal? What kind of Islam is the best? And he said, Man salim al muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi. Who are those, the best Islam, the Muslim, the true Muslim, that's the best Islam is the one who others are safe from his tongue and his hands. That means his hands, he's not going to do things that doesn't pertain to him. And also does not harm other Muslims. Al-Muslim, man salim al-Muslimun min lisanihi wa yadihi. In the hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. A Muslim is one whom others are safe from his tongue and from his hand. And so, of course, Husn al-Islam is leaving that which is haram, leaving that which does not pertain to you, leaving that which is doubtful, leaving that which is makruh, leaving that which is mubah, if you're indulging it in too much also, or things that you don't like, or things that you don't need. And it also becomes, you know, there are things that you buy that you might not need also. And that falls into that category also, because a lot of times we buy things we don't need, with money we don't have, at a price we can't afford, and sometimes it's just to impress people we don't even like.
right? And so that's why if you can stay away from that, then inshallah, you have salamat al-sadr. If you have peace and tranquility in your heart. And when people speak, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا خير في كثير من نجواهم. There's no good in all of their discussions and in their debates and discussions amongst themselves. إِلَّا مَنْ أَمَرَ بِصَدَقَةٍ. Except for those who order that to give sadaqah. أَوْ مَعْرُوفٍ. Or goodness, enjoining that which is good. أَوْ إِصْلَاحٍ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Or enjoining or rectifying and bringing people together. In other words, when two people are at odds with each other, to bring people together. And just notice, just know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Qaf, مَا يَلْفِذُ مِنْ قَلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. There's not a single utterance that comes from your mouth except there is Raqibun Atid, the angels to your right and to your left that write down your actions. And of course, the hadith of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, who said, O Messenger of Ya Nabi Allah, Inna la mu'akhadun bima natakalam. Are we going to be accountable for what we say? Wa inna la mu'akhadun bima natakalam bi. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Thakilatka ummuka ya Mu'adh. May your mother, may you lose your mother. وَهَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسِ فِي النَّارِ عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ أَوْ عَلَى مَنَاخِرِهِمْ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. He said, aren't the people dragged by their noses on their faces into the hellfire except because of what their tongues have earned them? Meaning that the words that you say, you're accountable for that. Most people are dragged into the hellfire by their faces are dragged and thrown into the hellfire because of their tongue. Because of their tongue. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz used to say, he said, Man adda kalamahu min amali, qalla kalamahu fima la yanfa'u. He said, whoever considers his words to be part of his deeds, then he will speak less about that which does not benefit him. So if you consider the words that you say as part of your deeds that you do, because they are, these are deeds of the tongue, then you will spend less time speaking about things that don't benefit you. Why? Because, it's the same thing. So let's say, how many times do we go out and do things that don't benefit us? Like you just go out, like all of a sudden, like you just want to go out and it doesn't benefit. You just go out and do things that you know, like you don't, meaning somebody goes out and just, you know, sometimes you walk out and you're exercising. Alhamdulillah, that benefits you. But there are times in which you do things that don't benefit you. And then you look back because, you know, why should I do that? It doesn't benefit me. Like, why should I buy this if I don't need it? Right? Why should I buy this if I don't need it? Why should I do this if it doesn't benefit me? Everybody thinks about what? When you're buying something, when you're doing something, you're looking for things that you benefit, that will benefit you, right? But also words that you say. Why should you say it if it doesn't benefit you? Why should you say it, right, if it's harmful for you? If it doesn't benefit, if you have that mindset, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he says, then you will speak less about that which does not benefit you. And so, of course, this is just the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's a very, very important hadith. Why? We mentioned that this particular hadith forms a foundation of whatever. If you want to be pious and righteous, then stay away from that which doesn't benefit you. Stay away from saying things that don't benefit you. Staying away from doing things that don't pertain to you, talking about things that don't pertain to you. So leaving things that don't pertain to you. That's part of good character. That's part of good character. Nobody likes people who speak a lot. The more you speak, the more enemies you make. And the more you get into other people's business, the more people hate you. People hate it when others are always trying to. When you, وَلَا تَجَسَسُوا وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضُ. Like, do not go around trying to spy on people, and don't backbite other people. So this hadith encompasses all of those things. And that's why it's one of the most encompassing hadith, most important hadith in trying to perfect when it comes to the person's when a person's character, inshallah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to perfect our character, just like He has perfected our features, to also perfect our character. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise us with the prophets and messengers. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to enter Jannah, the highest level in Jannah. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.